We are hoping that everyone is enjoying a little bit of Friday night football tonight. We thought, hey, halftime, there's nothing to do. Why don't we put out a little video to chat to you all while we're on this little break from the podcast? We thought we could bring in some people that we would love to hear from at halftime. So this week we have Gemma Bastiani here to talk to you. If you don't know Gemma, which I'm sure you do, she is a co-founder of Siren Sport and Play On Radio. She's also a presenter and co-founder of Australian Jams. Gemma's incredible. She's a real expert. Love her connection and enthusiasm for stats. So we had this chat earlier today and we thought we'd pop it out here just in case anyone was looking for something to watch and listen to at halftime. As always, I recorded this chat on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, as did Gemma. And Marty recorded from Wathaurong land. So we would like to pay our respects to elders past and present. And we acknowledge that this always was and always will be Aboriginal land. All right, I hope you enjoy.
We can't do any real-time assessment of the game, obviously, because we're recording early this week. But do you have any sort of, putting you on the spot here, but do you have any sort of predictions for the game? It is your team playing. So what are you expecting to see and what stats do you think are going to be especially relevant?
The thing that I really like to look out for with the Swans is their defensive line, I think, is really underrated and for a really long time has just been kind of compiled of players who probably started at the club in a different position and then have moved there. And that's something that's been happening since 2005, really. Think about, you know, Marty Matner used to be there. Heath Grundy was a key forward that got moved into defence. All these sorts of players that are now moving to defence. And now you look at who the Swans back six is. It's Tom McCartan, who was a key forward until mid last year. Dane Rampey, who was a VFL kind of discard, who then got picked up out of the Sydney Leagues, who is now, you know, co-captain of the Swans and one of the best one-on-one defenders in the comp, who has an impeccable field kick. That's something to look out for. His ability to kick into the corridor out of defense, incredible. Harry Cunningham, who was a winger slash midfielder, who's quick and a reliable one-on-one defender. Robbie Fox, who is one of my favorite players who everyone judges me for, but he's become a really good one-on-one defender whose field kick has really improved as well. Jake Lloyd, who again was a rookie who developed his craft, his good running defender. And Jordan Dawson, who, another one of my favorites. He was a half forward winger who has been moved into defense because he does have that reliable kick and that long kick coming out of defense. And he's kind of a key defender now. So I love the idea of this cobbled together back six that's so reliable with one another and to the team. And they set up so much play out of there as well.
What is a statistic for the game tonight, Sydney and Hawthorn, that we should keep an eye on?
I think the way the Swans are winning their clearances. So the Swans' clearance numbers, but then also conversion from clearance to score, I think will be really important because we've noticed that when Sydney have Tom Hickey in the side, which they will have tonight, and I'm hoping that at halftime he's still on the field, that his ability to not only win clearances himself, but also create better opportunity for more efficient clearances from the Swans. So not just clearance numbers, because we know the Swans can win clearances, but how much of that is translating to a score? I think that'll be really important.
Do you find them important or interesting statistics? I feel like there's just a stat for everything that you can imagine under the sun and they're just like making up new ones.
I think they are interesting if they're used in the right context. So my whole thing is not just here's a stat, but like what does it actually mean? So I don't like it when people, certain commentators throw a stat into a broadcast and it's just got no relevance. There's no reason to be talking about that. And then they just move on to something else. It's like, well, why did you even say that? Or like Gary Rowan, the example I always use within the men's is like, everyone always complains that he doesn't get enough touches, but it's like, he doesn't need that many touches to have an impact. What he without the ball is more important than what he does with the blah, blah, blah. So it annoys me when people are like, oh, you only got 10 touches in this game. I'm like, it doesn't matter that you only got 10 touches in this game. So context to stats is what makes them interesting is my main thing.
Yeah. We thought while we had you for a chat and we've just had trade week, that we would love to get your thoughts on trade week. There's been a little bit of discussion, I suppose, particularly about the big moves. But what do you think are some moves that we haven't heard enough about and will
become very important next season?
I think that the one that kind of went really under the radar was the first trade, which was, you know, Sabrina Frederick, everyone was talking about that. She's a big name and she's a valuable player. But I think Maddie Shevlin going back the other way to Richmond, she's going to be so valuable in terms of just being a role player that can be really reliable. That's something that, you know, Richmond have certainly improved. They've got some good players on their list, but they've been so focused on getting those big name players that can do the big things in the big moments that the role players have been kind of ignored and haven't developed as much as what you've seen at other clubs. So I love the idea of Maddie Shevlin going in and maybe playing a wing role that can be a connector between a midfield of Ellie McKenzie and Maddie Brancatisano into a forward line that hopefully has, you know, those big marking forwards like Courtney Wakefield and Taylor Stahl and Katie Brennan. So I really liked that one for sure.
But I guess on that, talk to us about the upcoming draft because, teams are changing, lists are small, and the talent coming through is outstanding and probably a little bit intimidating for some players. They're coming for those spots. So is there anyone that you can tell us about that we should be keeping our eyes and ears on?
Everyone's talking about Georgie Prasparkas. She's Maddie Prasparkas' younger sister. She's a Jet out of the midfield. So she's a real big priority. Charlie Rowbottom, she is the sister of James Rowbottom, who plays for the Swans, and she plays a lot like him as well. Very strong, able to make space for herself out of congestion, able to clear the ball, but also just a really good ball winner, a very reliable player. She's the kind of player that you want to be on a team with.
Last night I was obviously watching the Cats game and I was following your tweets. What has to happen to spark your interest enough to actually express an opinion on something?
In the women's, I really like to live tweet games and give a bit more insight into players because I think that's something we don't get as much of. And that's not because, you know, the play-by-play commentators are poor or anything like that. I think it's just there's not the dearth of information around that there is with the men's. We're not yet quite as attached to these players because they're so new to our lives. So that's something I like to do, but I like to do it in terms of an analytical perspective. So what are they known for on the field? Not are they a mother of three, which is great and incredible that they're doing both things, but what are they doing on the field that makes them great? So Maddie McMahon being a key defender and, you know, incredible, but she always gets described as mother of two, which is why I tweet that anyway. Or interesting stats throughout the game. So if a player has broken their personal best disposal or goal kicking or anything like that. But I also think that when maybe the commentators aren't mentioning something that I've noticed a lot, that's probably when I do tweet. So Port Adelaide last night, and this has been a theme of their season, is that as soon as they're under pressure, they lose the connection with one another in terms of, you know, Laddams tapping the ball down to one of his mids or any of those, or they're just missing those handballs that they otherwise would have hit. And that's something that was really obvious to me watching the game because Geelong knew to apply that pressure, got that game going, and it tore Port Adelaide to shreds. And that just hadn't been mentioned in the broadcast. So that's why I tweeted that. So I think maybe that's why.
Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight. We hope you liked that. If you did, send us a message, let us know. If there are people that you would like to hear from, you would like to join us to chat about football, let us know as well. If you hated it, maybe don't let us know. No, just kidding. We love spending time with you and hopefully you will enjoy a little bit of video content from us while we're on this little podcast break and have a good night. And I don't know which team I'm going for, but go your team.